Jesus is our commonwealth today and yesterday and every day, present and past and future. Oh, just a few days ago, last Saturday, I made my way eastward along the Esplanade by the River Charles. Waves, scores, hundreds, more than 1,000 walkers came past me, headed west. Isn't that the way of life, swimming upstream always I was? This was the Heart Walk. Well, those of you come Sunday who are in church know about the Walk of the Heart. That's what we're about right now. But this was a Saturday morning, and children move forward along the walk. They don't go down the middle, they zigzag. That's what children do. There was an octogenarian wearing a name tag, Uncle James. There were t-shirts sporting the names of sponsors and of health institutions who were promoting this fine heart walk. The different troops in different colors moved along, brown and tan and yellow and orange. And the ones that touched most were the family shirts. "We walk to remember PJ," said one. A freshman this week who loves Hemingway, he's making a comeback, I guess, said that she understood Hemingway was asked to write a short story in 6 words, and he came back as follows: "Baby shoes for sale, never worn." 6 words. It doesn't take much. 2 letters, PJ. The purple shirt had it best. It said, "Take a few steps for a good cause." Friends, that's what we're doing, listening as we do on the radio or gathering of a Sunday, a beautiful autumn Sunday in Marsh Chapel. We're part of the procession. This gospel read for the second time this week. It took 2 sermons to get through Mark 8, 27 and following. Then more ethical, now more spiritual, then more moral, now more theological, then sanctification, now justification. That's what we're about, taking a step. We make our place and engage the promenade of faith in our portion of the earth here in the cradle of liberty. Our choir guides us. We process in. It's a majestic moment. We're here. We gather. We lift our hands and voices, and then we recess together. This is a heart walk in which you're involved this day, in which we're involved every day. We listened for the gospel last week and heard about a commonwealth, and many replied over the internet, for which replies I'm deeply thankful. We listen for the teaching about social justice, recognizing that in the Bible, real religion is never very far from justice, whether in the law, the prophets, the writings, the gospels, the letters, or the apocalypses. And with the apostle in 2 Corinthians 8, we hope that those who have much might not have too much, and those who have little might not have too little. And we remembered Paul teaching, you know, he taught us about giving, didn't he? About the excellence in giving. You're excellent in so many other things. Please become so here. Any giving that's real is of the free will. The blessing of giving falls most squarely upon the giver. We might add that the divine generosity undergirding us every day is signaled or illumined with every gift of kindness we make. God has given God's life for the life of the world. God has died that we might live. In the Son of Man, Mark 8 teaches, God's life comes to its nadir, that ours might move to its apex. That is, in the promenade along the Esplanade, there is a subterranean water flowing, which is our, who is our, he is our common wealth. Who do you say that I am? Thou art our commonwealth. Jesus is our commonwealth, our common ground, our common faith, our common hope, our common life, our commonwealth today. Thanks be to God. It's good news. Jesus has been our commonwealth in days gone by. We celebrate Alumni Weekend here at Boston University. Every Sunday around the globe, alumni listen. Now some are visiting. We're glad for the support that we receive from them, and of course, we want to continue to foster a spirit of generosity and encourage endowment of all forms of life at Boston University, including, we might add, Marsh Chapel. If you are so inclined to walk alongside us and to endow the future of the ministry of this chapel, we will do everything we can for your spiritual well-being beginning in this moment. But you know, in a bigger sense, in a larger sense, the endowment that we need here, we already have, don't we? The price has been paid, hasn't it? God gave God's life that we might live. That real estate's been purchased. It's not that we need to raise more funds. There's not any left. It's not for sale any longer, if it ever was. Our common wealth is the living Christ, of whom it was said, "He is risen, he is not here." See the place where they laid him. God's absence empowers human presence. We've heard it so often we don't hear it. God died, so you live along the walk, the heart walk of faith. Our endowment here is not visible, it's vocal, it's not audited, it's audible. It's not monetary, it's epistolary, it's not physical, it's psychic. It's not in the coin of the realm, but in the language of the heart. Yours. It's yours already. Listen. Listen for the echoes right here of those voices. I'll leave it for you to remember which of these was Wesley and which Merlin and which Marsh. And which Harkness, and which Marlott, whose hymn we sing in a moment, and which Thurman, and which King. But the endowment is vocal and eternal. Do all the good you can. The best of all is God is with us. A heart and a service in the city and for the city, living and learning in virtue and piety. Are ye able, still the Master whispers down eternity. Hope of the world, thou Christ of God incarnate, search, seek ye a common ground wherein we are judged, we might add, not by the color of skin, but by the content of character. Your endowment here, the voice of Marsh Chapel, present and especially past, not just today, but yesterday. John Calvin wrote in his Institutes, I'm sure you've thought about reading it at some time recently, it's just two volumes and thousands of pages, but he describes sanctification first and then justification. He talks about how we live first, which we did last week, and then why we do so, which we do this week. That is, as some of you wrote in a prescient way, the command to love the neighbor hangs on the command to love God. That is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second of the great is hinged on the first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, heart walk, soul, mind, and strength. How we choose to live depends upon our audition of the voices reverberating about us that convey to us that underground estuary, that commonwealth. Gabriel Vahanian died this month. He wrote a book titled The Death of God, and he said, God is wholly other and wholly present, and faith, the conversion of the world, culturally and existentially, is the demand he places upon us. O thou our commonwealth, thou Christ of God incarnate and cruciform, bless us, we ask, today as thou hast done in days gone by. Thou art our commonwealth. Every day, the scripture read this morning was read years before your birth and will be read into the unforeseen future long after your death. It is a lasting revelation, and it cuts, Mark 8 does, right to the heart of faith and life, not just today and not just yesterday, but every Lord's day, every one day. There's a reason why Peter, being rebuked, is so remembered. Get thee behind me, Satan. And that is that there is an honest human reticence to notice a lasting recoil over against the disciplined, cruciform walk of faith. We should ponder for a moment, though, this revealed truth, this utterance. We're not asked, most of us, to be Dietrich Bonhoeffer and give our life in a year or a day. We're not asked, as those four chaplains in the back window were, to, and they did, gave their life jackets to four young sailors who lived and they did not. But the pattern of our living, though maybe not so crystal, is over time the same, isn't it? Otherwise, why are you doing what you're doing for others? Otherwise, why are you living as you live for others? Mark doesn't answer the question of why Jesus died. The closest he gets is Mark 10:45, in which he says, gave his life as a ransom for many. Isn't that such a mercantile, commercial, material image? A bag of treasure for a human liberation. And yet it may touch us in our material, even in our entitled age. Gave his life for as a ransom, the Greek word means release. God gave God's life in Christ that we might live. God's absence empowers human presence. Think for a minute. Jesus is our childhood's measure. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us, he knew. And he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness. Some there are who are passing through the valley of the shadow. This weekend, you need to hear the good news. Jesus, our common wealth. And underground, a grounded flow of divine generosity every day. That's the pattern of your living. Our faith faces squarely tragedy, loss, death, and sin. Your life patterns itself after the giving of the Christ. God gave life, we might live. We give life, others might live. It's a little more quotidian, but it's there. The breast milk of the mother, the night labor of the father, the extra effort of the teacher, the dangerous service of the soldier, the soft encouragement of the grandmother. More than we realize, we're giving our life over to the next generation. Proust wrote, "There's a world of beliefs all around us that we never stop to affirm, but they guide our life." Wilder said it otherwise. We don't take it out very often and look at it, but there's something eternal about every human being. And there's a dawn side, not just a twilight, a day side, not just a night side to that pattern. As he lived, so you do too. Facing the world, free from the world, released in ransom, to make, among other things, a sibling society in which every child is cherished and no woman is left aside and no man is maligned and every person is precious. But the second commandment depends upon the first, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Also, beloved, hear the good news. When asked, "Who do you say that I am?" we may reply in chorus, "Thou art our commonwealth, our common ground, our common faith, our common hope, our common life, our common wealth." Today, yesterday, every day. Soon we'll sing, "Come Christmas." And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he has gone. Sursum corda, lift up your hearts, hear the gospel. Jesus, our common wealth. Amen.